أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله. We are gathered here today within this beautiful month of Ramadan, on the first Jumu'ah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and also this Sa'ah, which is the time between Asr and Maghrib. And this is a very special time because the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there is a time on the day of Jumu'ah between Salatul Asr to Maghrib within which the servant, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calls out to Allah Azza wa Jal, does a sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his dua. So this is a moment, a time of acceptance of your du'as. It is a very, very sacred moment, not just because it's Jumu'ah, but also because it is a Friday in the blessed month of Ramadan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as in this particular moment in the month of Ramadan. So far, we've obviously, as we do a quick recap, we've done an introduction to Salah, talked about the benefits and the virtues of Salah. We reminded ourselves the importance of strengthening our intentions and purifying our intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making sure that we enjoy our Salah and bring a present heart and a present mind when we come to Salah. And we discussed that the Salah is the key to Jannah, but the key to Salah is wudu. And to do wudu in the correct manner, with the correct intentions, with the correct method, will enable us to actually maximize our rewards and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purification and the preparation process is very important. And then we talked about having and expressing our feelings and emotions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having raja in Allah azza wa jal, and not just having amani, just empty wishes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but actual hope which is coupled with action in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yesterday we discussed the importance of our clothing, the importance of modesty, the importance of shame, the importance of haya, and how salah, and when we approach our salah, we must approach it in the correct manner with our heart and our mind. And if you do not have haya, then you will not really be a recipient of the mercy or the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having haya before Allah azza wa jal is more important than having haya in front of our parents or in front of our society in the way that we dress and behave and carry ourselves. We should have the utmost amount of haya when we are standing and remembering and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah al-aziz, we continue with another element which will enable us to develop more khushu in our salah. So all of these things, if you think about it, is just like a key. When all of the things, they have to align with the lock in order for you to turn the key. All of the pieces of the puzzle, they have to come together in order for you to get access to the end game. So similarly with Salah, it's not just about coming and praying and going, but all of the things that we've discussed so far of khushu, of a present heart, of having feelings and emotions in our salah, of having haya in our salah, and the wudu, the preparation, the intentions, all of these really, really have to come together in order for us to truly taste the sweetness, the lazza of our salah. So we're going to begin with an example from the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an would approach the time for salah, when the time for prayer would come, then Sayyidina Ali, this is how he is described, that he would begin to shake when the time of salah was about to approach, or when the azan was said, then he would begin to shake and the color of his face would change. This is how he is described. So when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was asked that, why is this so? Why does your kayfiyah, why does your state, why does your hal change when the time for salah is upon you? Why does the color of your face change? What's wrong? You know, they thought maybe something actually physically, biologically wrong with him. But rather Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he replied, he said, the time has entered for a trust and amana that was offered to the heavens and to the earth and even to the mountains. Listen to his words, they're very, very powerful words, and they relate directly to a verse of the Quran. Now that the time has come, has entered upon us, where a trust has been placed upon us human beings. The same trust was given to the heavens, it was given to the earth, it was given to the mountains, and they declined to bear this trust, this amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but insan took it. And I also, being insan, I have undertook this amana, this trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that saying? It is saying that you have made this promise, you have made this pledge, you have taken the trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will recognize Him, you will worship Him, that you will have the Quran within your heart, and you will stand firm, stronger than mountains, and you will carry the weight of the Quran more than the heavens and the earth can carry the weight, but you will stand humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in reflection to the verse of the Quran, Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. That we gave this trust, the trust of Iman, the trust of free will, the trust of the Quran, the trust of Islam to the heavens. We presented it to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they said, Allah, we can't bear this. This is too much for us. But insan said, oh Allah, I'll do it. But now that we have made that promise and we've taken the trust, we have to fulfill that promise. We have to fulfill that trust. And this is the kayfiyah, and this is the feeling that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to have every single time. You know, when somebody gives you something monumental to do, that you have to do this, nobody else can do this, only you can do this. Then when you stand for that particular action, you think, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Because there's so much expectation from my family, from my friends, from society, from the world. Everybody, the whole world is looking at me and I need to do this. There's a lot of expectations in big things. So this is the greatest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, for us to stand up, stand firm, at the same time stand humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the trust, fulfill the promise and pledge. So the kayfiyah, the feeling that we're going to talk about today, is in Arabic is called haiba. Called haiba. And this is a very, very important feeling, because we've discussed elements of khushu, we've discussed elements of haya, we've discussed all of these things with haiba, and we've also discussed raja as well. But haiba is an important aspect that we're going to talk about, which needs to be included in our salah if we want to taste the sweetness of prayer and we want to make our salah more meaningful. So what is haiba? So haiba is a kind of fear that we should have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the problem is that in the English language and the other languages, they don't really translate haiba holistically, because words like khushu, words like khawf and haiba and khashiyah, they're really lost in the English translation. You only have something simple to kind of, you know, render it like, oh, it's simple fear. But haiba is much more comprehensive than that. So khawf in the Arabic language, which is actually more closer to fear, Khawf is to flee from the thing that you fear. So when you fear something, what do? You see an animal, you see a dog, you see a lion, or sometimes you see your mom or dad with a, you know, something in their hand, and you have this fear, and then you run away from it. But generally, khawf in the Arabic language is that you fear something and you run away from that thing, and you have fear of that thing, but you don't necessarily have knowledge of that thing. So you can be afraid of something. For example, you're afraid of the dark. It's not something which is really tangible, but you're still afraid of it. You don't really have knowledge of it per se, but you have fear of that thing. This in the Arabic language is actually called khawf, but in English we just call it fear. And then you have khashiyah on the other hand, which is to fear something, but then to fear it with knowledge. So the first one, which is khawf, is fearing something without any knowledge, without something which is real or tangible. But khashiyah is to have fear, but have knowledge of that fear as well. And the more the servant has knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that our khawf turns into khashiyah. Because people who always fear, what do they fear? The unknown, the unseen. But then what's behind this door? What's going to happen? What's going to happen around the corner? We have this fear of the unknown. But we as Muslims, we don't just have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we recognize Allah. We know that He exists. We see His signs. We see His majesty. We see His beauty. So that fear then transforms into khashiyah, because we have fear accompanied with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that distinction that we need to have when you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just have fear because you can't see Him and you haven't heard Him, but have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His existence, and then you will see that your salah will change because you have this different element which is called khashiyah. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us that only those who truly have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The true people who actually have khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is true knowledge and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those people who truly fear. Because think about it, if you don't know, for example, a new student comes to the madrasa, they don't know how harsh I am. I'm just giving an example, even though I'm not very harsh. But they don't know, they've heard stories, and they have this fear in them, oh, that, you know, this study is going to beat you up, and he's got a stick, and he's got this, and he's got that. They have this unknown and unwarranted fear. But when they come and they see me, and they see me smile, and they see me hug them, and shake their hands, and they see me welcome them, sit them down, speak nicely to them, then that fear is removed. And it turns into khashya, which is more of a respect, because you don't have that fear of that teacher anymore. So we don't need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is unknown. We recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that He exists. We know Him from His name, His asma and sifat. We know Him from the Quran. We know Him from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So khashya is an important element to have in our salah, but you only develop khashya in your salah when you have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why yesterday I was saying that if you want to enjoy your salah, you need to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like when you want to enjoy a conversation with a friend or somebody new, you get to know them, their likes and their dislikes, their all of the things, and then you can have more meaningful conversations. If you want to have a better dialogue conversation with Allah, get to know Allah Azza wa Jal, get to know your Lord, get to know His prohibitions, get to know His commands, get to know His asma and sifat, get to know the Quran, get to know the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This knowledge will transform your fear and it will replace your fear and actually turn it into haiba, which is what we're actually trying to develop in our salah. So haiba is fear, but it is associated with respect. One is fear of the unknown and you're just running away from it. And then you have khashya, which is fear, but with knowledge. And haiba is a fear, but it is associated with respect, with awe, and with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, very distinct difference here, haiba. So haiba is, you do fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all do, because we know the sins that we do, we know the bad things that we do, but we are also in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are also glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we need to try to develop in our salah. So how was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described? The Sahaba ikram mentioned that those who saw the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, they were in awe of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because they could see his radiance, they could see his luminosity, they could see the, you know, how luminous his face was, they could see the way that he walked, they could see the way he carried himself. When they saw him from afar, they could only be mesmerized by him. In our language, they would just be in awe, they would gravitate towards their personality and the appearance and the existence of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is how he described that those who saw him from afar would be in awe of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And those who knew him, knew the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam very closely, would just simply love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we need to be in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to have that respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to have that glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can only fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you get to know your Lord. Get to know how generous He is, how kareem He is, how rahim He is, how ghafoor He is, how, you know, all of these things. This is how what will make you fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having that haiba is a very, very important thing. But at the same time, the Sahaba ikram, they mentioned that those who didn't know the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasalam, just heard things about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when they would come and see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they would tremble, they would struggle to actually speak in front of the presence of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But at the same time, young kids And other people, they would take the hand of the Prophet ﷺ, and women, they'd say, come with us. And the Prophet ﷺ would go and walk with them. Or the kids would say, come and play with us. And he would go and he would play with the kids of Medina in the streets of Medina. So, you know, this fear of the unknown, of patani, how a person is going to treat you, how they're going to behave with you, how they're going to respect you or disrespect you, is all based on the unknown, on the fear. But we have no unknowns in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, our fear should be transformed to haiba, to awe and respect and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in turn go towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know Him. He has described Himself in the Quran Himself. We know who He is, how He is, His power, His might. We know Him. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. We know Him when He says, in هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى, and various other verses of the Quran. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the haybah that we need to really, really try to think about when we come into our salah. You can fear fire. Why? Because you know that fire will potentially harm you. Yes, fire does harm you as well. But fire itself doesn't make you have a sense of respect or a sense of glorification or a sense of awe. Fire inherently does not have haybah because you do not glorify it. You look at your father and you can fear your father, or you can be in awe of your father, because your father carries a certain amount of haybah about him, the way that he carries himself. So you can be afraid of your father, but that fear that you have is actually out of respect, out of honor, out of awe of your father for who he is and what he does for you. So this is an important state to have when we come to our salah, to have this haybah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So previously I said we need to have raja. Raja is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we're talking about haybah, which is having fear, but also coupling it with awe and respect and glorification for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you might be thinking, wait a minute, that these are two conflicting emotions. How can you have hope but at the same time fear Allah? How can you have hope but at the same time then, you know, praise Allah and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc.? So the way that you understand this is that you recognize when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are sinful. We all do sins, those that we know and those that we do not know. We do this. Amadan, aw khata, and nisyan, and we do this deliberately. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. We make mistakes. We do sins with our eyes, our nose, our hands, our entire body, our heart, our thoughts. We do this all the time. So first is to recognize that you are sinful when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will establish a small amount of fear in your heart, because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you and He knows your sins. He knows your sheet. He knows exactly what you have been up to that particular day. But at the same time, that's haybah. That's haybah, having that fear, but also having that respect and glorification for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you couple that with raja, which is having the hope and the yakin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time, equally, He is Al-Kareem, and He is the most generous, and He is Al-Ghafoor, and He is Ghaffar, and He is Rahman, and He is Rahim. This is how we put these two together, of raja in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we know that He is forgiving and merciful and kind and overlooking, and at the same time, we should have that element of haybah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we recognize that indeed we are sinful and we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will elicit our body and our minds to have a certain amount of respect and awe and glorification in our worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you don't have any haybah for another person and you just think, oh, theek hai, dekhi jab, I've done my application, I don't really care whether it's accepted or rejected. No, we do care about our application. We do care about our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always couple our salah with a little bit of fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it keeps you in check. You know, you can be 30 years old, you can be 40 years old, but when you go to your parents, they might raise their hand and you'll still have that little amount of fear. And it's important to have that. You should never transgress your limits. Always know your limits as an insan and who you are. So having fear, having haybah, but which is awe and glorification and respect, and also having raja in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an important part of our salah. So we look at some of the examples of haybah the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described for himself and for the ummah, so that we can understand what is haybah a bit more. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions that my knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than any of you. And this is the haqq, this is the reality, because nobody knew Allah azza wa jal better than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran was revealed on the heart of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Often at times the Quran would come directly to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would communicate with him directly without any means whatsoever in different forms and manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to a place which is beyond our comprehension on the night of Isra and Mi'raj. So nobody knows and nobody knew and nobody will ever know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So he says, my knowledge of Allah azza wa jal is greater than any one of you. And he goes, at the same time, I am also the one who fears him the most. Subhanallah, this is haybah. This is coupling knowledge and awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all at the same time. So when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you better than anyone else. Because He is our Lord, our Creator. He knows you very, very intricately. But you should stand there with that fear that you are standing before your Lord, standing before your Rabb, standing before your Creator, who is also Qahhar, who is also the Reckoner, who will also take you to account, who's also made Jahannam for the people as well, who's also done all of these things. But then you should also have that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that via your knowledge, via your adab, via your ihtiram, via your khushu, via your awe and respect and glorification, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive you and be merciful towards you as well. Other examples of Imam Hassan, the grandson of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, which we briefly talked about today in the Jummah khutbah. Imam Hassan, when he used to do wudu and when he used to go and pray his salah, this is how some of the Sahaba ikram, they ask, he said, oh Hassan, why do you turn pale and why does you turn yellow whenever you take your ablution? So he, you know, do you ever turn pale or does your color change on your skin when you're about to do wudu? We don't. We don't even think twice about all of the sins that we've done. We just do our wudu, get it over and done with, and just go pray salah. Our inner state doesn't change. Our physical state in terms of our color, our thinking, none of that actually changes. We just come, we just do it, and we go. But Imam Hassan, he's asked, why do you become pale? Why does your color change in your skin whenever you take ablution? And do you know what the reply of Imam Hassan was? He goes, this is the time when I appear before the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the one who is the sole possessor of power, the one who has my soul in his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great and the majestic. And because of that haybah, because of that awe, because of that fear, because of that respect, my skin color changes, my kayfiyah and my state changes. You know, sometimes when you say, oh, a person's seen a ghost, their whole face becomes white, or when somebody, obviously they're biologically, something's going wrong in their body, you see their skin color change because something physical is happening to them. But these people, spiritually, their kayfiyah and their state would change when they would even hear the azan, but think about salah, when they do their wudu, because they realize where they are going, they realize where they're about to stand, who they're about to stand in front of. And this is his words, that this is the time when I'm going to appear before the presence of the sole possessor of power, Allah the great and the majestic and the mighty. So why should I not be in a state of haybah, in a state of khushu before going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the kayfiyah and the state that the Sahaba ikram and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to have. And if we don't have that, is because we don't think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't fear Allah azza wa jal enough, or we don't respect and honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough, or we don't have enough knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to actually have that feeling within ourselves, or that emotional and physical change to take place in our body. So this is an important thing. So we try to, as Muslims, we combine our raja, our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we combine our haybah to admit our misdeeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also equally at the same time are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. It's just like a parent or a teacher, the student and the child knows, aj mar pe, see, I've done something wrong, and I'm going to find out, or my mum and dad or my teacher is going to find out, and they will tell me off, I probably will get a smack. But that same child and that same student will also have have this hope, this small hope, however small it may be, that perhaps my mom will forgive me, my father will forgive me, or they won't hit me, or my teacher will let me off because I haven't given in the assignment. Do you understand? We do have these feelings in the world, in real life situation. Why is it that we have it there with our parents, our teachers, our boss, or other people, but we don't have it in the same way when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should have that fear that Allah will take us to account. We should at the same time have the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and forgiving as well. So this is the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he reminds us and he gives us this beautiful dua. He says, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you for your pleasure and against your wrath, and in your forgiveness and against your punishment, and in you from you." So basically he's saying, "Oh Allah, I come to you in every single manner and form, and I seek your refuge and I seek your protection. I am the sinful, I am the one who has done wrong, but in spite of all of those things, I can't go anywhere else. I can't hide anywhere, and I seek your refuge and your protection and your forgiveness, and I show myself for who I am. Oh Allah, forgive me and accept me." So he has this huge amount of adab, that you could say, this haiba, this awe, this respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to imagine these things, that you are physically standing before Allah azza wa jal. On the day of Qiyamah, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have no clothing whatsoever. You'll be drowning in your own sins. Everything will be apparent, absolutely apparent. Then on that day you will be in awe. Then on that day you will be in complete fear, because you will, where will you go? Where will you hide? But this is the same amount of fear that we should try to have during our salah. And if you can inculcate it within our salah, you can develop that, then you can make yourself stronger and know that your haiba and your raja combined together will actually deliver you success. So recognizing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time knowing that there's refuge and forgiveness and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very important. So all of this, this kayfiyah, the state of having haiba, is about being present in your salah and not being complacent. When we come to our salah, we never think Allah is in front of us. We never think Allah is watching us, Allah is hearing us. We just pray our salah. We probably think more about the person on our right and the person on our left. What has he eaten today? What has he eaten? What kind of smell is going to come from him? Has he changed his socks? How long is the imam going to take? These are the things that we try to think of in our salah, instead of realizing who we are, where we are, who we are standing in front of. This is, you know, the difference between praying your salah and being complacent, and actually being active and mindful and being present in your salah, because you have this awe. You are standing before Rabbul Alameen. You're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has your soul in his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the possessor of might and power and majesty. This is the difference between the Sahaba ikram. This is the difference between them and us, because they were constantly present in our salah, but our mind is not present, because we don't think about our modesty, our haya, our haiba, our khashiyya in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these things. We just pray monotonously because we think this is what we need to do. So haiba is the highest level of fear that you can have. Remember that fear is awe and respect and glorification and then acknowledgement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you put haiba with raja of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. you increase your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you understand His power and His majesty, then you will begin to taste the lazza and the beauty of your salah far much more. Just another example, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he went on the night of Mi'raj, who did he go with? He went with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel who delivers the messages directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the archangel Jibreel alayhi salam, the one who has 600 wings. This is Jibreel alayhi salam. But there comes a point when even Jibreel alayhi salam says that I can't move any more further than this. He had this fear of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew his place, that even if I move 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter forward, I will be completely annihilated. This is my maqam. He knew the majesty, the power of might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew and understood his limits. But when we approach our salah, we don't remember our limits. We don't remember that we are insan. We don't remember how humble we should be. We still think that I'm a businessman, I'm this, I'm that, and I don't need to bow down to anybody. We still carry that same mentality in our salah. But Jibreel alayhi salam, he knew his limits and he was always mindful of who he was, where he was, especially before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would be completely annihilated. This is Jibreel alayhi salam, who could never do any wrong. Then how is it that we come to our salah, we have no haybah, no fear, no awe, no respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we stand like we own the masjid, and we strut around the masjid, and we go through our motions like they don't mean anything? Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize who you are standing before? Do you know if you stand before a VIP person or somebody, you think, you know, is this how you stand? Adab nal karao. Stand like this, or sit like this, or behave like this, do a curtsy like this. You know, you're told how to have this particular mannerism before other people. How can we not have that same haybah, that fear, that adab, that respect and glorification for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when you come to your salah, remember who you are, remember how insignificant you are, remember your sins, and but remember the power and the majesty and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it increases you in your fear. Remember your shortcomings and your failings and your heedlessness when you come to your salah, and the fact that you are being given a chance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify yourself, to purify yourself, and then have hope that Allah, I'm here. Just that I'm here. Just, you know, as I am, whoever I am, all the things that I may have done and the things that I do, in spite of all of those things, Ya Allah, because of your fear, because of your acknowledgement, because of your love and respect and glorification, I'm still here and I have hope in you. And I have hope in you. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala mentions that if there was a call on the day of Qiyamah that only one person is to enter into Jannah, then I will have this hope that that one person perhaps will be me. And he said, if there was a call on the day of Qiyamah that there will be only one person who will go to Jahannam, he goes, I would have that fear that that person might be me. So living your life between hope and fear is very important. Between Raja and between Haybah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. Stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hope that He is merciful, He is kind, and He will forgive you. But also stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that He is the reckoner, knowing that He knows who you are and your sins. And when you have this kayfiyyah, when you know that you're right on the edge, you know, when you're about to get burned or something monumental is about to happen to you, then you just completely pigalna, as they say, you just melt away. You think like, I don't know what to do. You know, you completely freeze. This is how you need to be in your salah. Have that haybah, that awe of respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize who you are. Recognize who you stand before. Do not be complacent. Be active with your heart and your mind before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continue to have hope that Allah azza wa jal will forgive you and be merciful towards you, inshallah al-aziz. So thank you so much for listening. I'll try to keep it shorter today, and inshallah we'll continue with our discussions on the importance of salah tomorrow onwards. Jazakumullahu khairan.